Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, today, man, we're going to take a very different detour from our typical format. I'm going to warn you that you may want your tissues today. I'm going to be telling you a story that, in fact, I don't know what the hell is wrong with me, because I have a tradition on my blog where every March 10th I write about a loss that I had in my life and some very important lessons that I was able to learn from that loss. And it's very easy to write about something, because if you get upset, you know, nobody knows it, right? You could just kind of have a moment. Well, I thought today I would push myself and actually tell you the story. So today's episode is called The Janitor and the Jedi Master. So if you guys don't mind, I think it's time for us to begin. So a long, long time ago, in a cubicle far, far away, there lived this just incredible Jedi Master. And this person happened to be my dad. And I'm not just saying that about him because he was my dad. I'm saying it because, I mean, he truly was a kick-ass salesperson. And the thing that made him a true Jedi Master was that, I mean, he continually wowed his clients. He would continually go to bat for them. He was their advocate. I mean, he was a true advocate of his clients, including during times where he had to fight some very unpopular battles internally on their behalf. So, you know, you guys all know about company politics and things like that. Sometimes it's best to be quiet. He didn't care. If his clients were getting screwed, he was going to go, and he was going to be their advocate. He was there to truly serve them. He also was very, very good at taking a genuine interest in them. And not that fake kind of interest, you know what I mean? Like, I'm interested in you because you're giving me money right now. I mean, he genuinely was interested in them. And not only that, but he knew their wives' names and kids' names and anniversaries and work anniversaries. And he didn't stop there. He did the same thing with the assistants that he had to deal with. So he was really, really good at that. And so I watched him for years and years and years do all that in just complete amazement. Now, something else that was very, very interesting about him was that he also volunteered his time. And his passion was helping people who were unemployed, and he did it for years and years and years. And the reason why he did it was because he felt he owed something. And he felt he owed something because there was a time in his life where he was unemployed. And if you guys think back to, there was a time where it was pretty much the man of the house, quote unquote, worked, and the woman took care of the kids and do all, you know, all the housework and all that kind of stuff. And in my family, it was a family of six, plus my parents. We had eight people that had to be fed, and dad had lost his job. And he never forgot the experience, and he felt that he owed something to God and to, you know, the universe, or whatever you want to label it. He felt he owed something, and he really gave back at a very, very high level. Now, my father and I used to brawl a lot, and we had some very heated discussions about my lack of direction. Right, comes as a big shock to you guys. And we used to fight all the time about me staying in college. I really just wanted to play my guitar. And me saying to you guys that I wanted to play my guitar is really a much safer thing than really what was truly going on in my life at that point. I didn't know where I was going to go with my life. I had no direction. I just didn't know. I was very lost. I mean, does that sound familiar to any of you guys? Maybe it's someone you know intimately, like you. And so it was a very bad place for me, and we would have these arguments. And I remember one time I wasn't really thinking. I didn't have my brain on. And, you know, being a true kid, I guess, and I really shouldn't say I was a kid. I was probably about 18 at the time, right? Old enough to know better. My filter that is supposed to be from brain to mouth was drunk in the car or asleep or MIA somewhere. And when we were arguing over my lack of direction, I said, well, you know, what the hell am I going to do, Dad? Be a salesman like you. And I didn't say it to be insulting because I admired the guy. But I give him a lot of credit for, number one, not knocking me on my ass for saying that. And number two, just, you know, not taking it personally and having a thick enough skin to realize that it was just a dumb kid who didn't, you know, just like who lost his balance and grabbed for something. And in this case, I grabbed for a really stupid comeback. And the other thing that I want to tell you, and then I'm going to get to, if you got to stay with me, because so far this might be boring the hell out of you, right? I mean, what do you care about my crazy past, right? But there is a really solid lesson in here that I'm getting to. This is building up and going somewhere. But, you know, one of the other things that he did remarkably well is that he had this ability to see the light in other people before they would even see it in themselves. And I was, although if you knew me back then, you wouldn't agree with this, but I was a shy kid. I still am a shy person. And I've really had to work very hard my entire life at not being shy. I am more of an introvert. I would rather do things on my computer and record podcasts and things like that than being in a crowd of people. I don't mind getting up and speaking in front of them as long as when we're all done with it, I can go back to going on my computer and just locking myself in my office and creating and writing courses and things like that. But he really could see that light in me. And gave me an awful lot of encouragement. And I can tell you that I really, really needed that encouragement, as I think all of us do, right? We still do. It's not just something that you need as a kid. And it was because he pushed me and because he didn't back away. Even when he knew that, you know, being a typical kid, when we'd have these arguments, I wasn't really liking him much during those arguments and, you know, for some of the time afterwards when we were kind of just annoyed at each other or whatever. But because he continued to break my balls about staying in college and having direction and everything, guess what? I got to be a salesman just like Dad, and I think it kind of worked out pretty good for me. I mean, you know, here I am, and I have a really popular blog. I have an incredible business today where I've trained over 10,000 sales reps worldwide, and you know, life is good, but that's still not the main point of today's podcast. I want to tell you about something that happened, and it was actually 27 years ago, almost to the day. I mean, he passed away 27 years ago today on March 10th, 1988, and I was a real youngin' at the time. I was 22, going on 23. I was engaged at the time, just a lot of things going on. And so what happened was we were at my father's wake, and I really want you to pay attention to the story. And you know how it is at a wake and at a funeral. You have, it's actually kind of interesting, and I don't mean to be sick, but it really is an interesting experience because you have people that come there to pay their respects to someone, and they represent different parts of this person's life. You have coworkers, you have clients, in the case of my dad, and I'm not exaggerating, folks, the line was out the door at the funeral parlor. I mean, it was just standing room only. And back then, we ended up by having to have it for, I think it was like 3 days we had this thing for. There's people flying in from all over the country. He touched a lot of lives. But we had customers and coworkers. We had lots of friends, obviously family. But there was one person there who seemed kind of out of place. And it wasn't because we were, you know, making this person feel out of place. You could tell they just felt awkward. The person just seemed like he had something to say, but he didn't know quite how to say it. Maybe like he didn't belong there. So I went over to him, and I think I went over to him with one of my brothers or something like that, and I introduced myself. And he said, you know, and he just seemed so awkward. And he said, I just want to apologize. I don't know if I belong here or whatever, but I knew your dad. And I said, well, of course you belong here. You know, you're a friend and friend of my father's, you know, your family. And the person said, I worked with your dad. for 20 years. And I was the janitor in your father's building. And he was just so beside himself, you could tell. He was crying while he was telling us this. And he said, your dad made me feel like somebody. You know, for 20 years, he would come in the morning, or he would be, you know, heading out to go see customers or whatever. Anytime he would see me, he would stop and he would talk to me and treat me like a person. And he said, you may not realize this, but a lot of people don't treat a janitor like a person. They walk right by. And this is the interesting part. He said, every time he would stop and talk with me, he would ask how my wife was doing, and he'd remember her name. He'd remember my children's names. He'd remember things that maybe I was going through. Or maybe, you know, like when I became a dad again, he would remember to stop and talk to me and call the baby by name. He cared enough about me to remember the things that were most important to me. And the guy said to me that what moved me most about your dad is that he didn't have to do that. I wasn't paying him. I know your dad was a salesman. I could understand it if he did it for his customers. They paid him. But, you know, I mean, what am I going to do? Run upstairs quickly and mop up something that he spilled? I mean, he did it because he was a genuine human being. And, you know, when I really, you know, I got to speak with a lot of different people, and just the stories they would tell me, pardon me, about my dad were very, very moving. But this is one that I think really underscores who my dad was. And it was very interesting because when they put the obituary out, it was in a publication out here in New York. Those of you from New York, you're going to know the publication right away. It's called Newsday. It's a Long Island newspaper. He actually was given a third of a page in the obituary section. And the headline, you know what I'm saying, the title of it, or I guess the headline you would call it. I'm sorry, I'm not a professional obituary writer. It didn't say Jedi Master. It didn't say badass. It didn't say rock star. It didn't say aspiring sales rock star. Didn't even say father. It said Des Castain, champion of the unemployed. And I think that's a very, very powerful thing to really think about. That here's somebody who is very, very successful in sales, who is giving back, and touched a lot of lives. So really what today's podcast is about is, if I haven't depressed you enough, right, I'm going to have to go and give out Red Bulls, and we're going to go and, you know, just like party or something and get in a better mood. But I think what today's podcast is about, it's about, first of all, living a legacy that is worthy of somebody talking about you and talking about me 27 years after we've left this earth and we've taken our last breath. I think it's about believing in people when they didn't believe in themselves. I can tell you hands down, I talk all the time about losing everything I had and how it turned around my life. I talk about failures that I've had in my business that have made me stronger. This experience that I had with my father, not just after he had passed away, but obviously while he was with us, having somebody believe in me when I didn't believe in myself set a foundation where I could not only go on and achieve great things, but today I help others do that, and I get to see the light in other people. And, you know, make no mistake, I think of my dad every chance that I get to turn that light on in somebody else who isn't experiencing it. And I think of myself as an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old and, you know, awkward and just not believing in myself every time when I get a chance to kind of give something back. But it's also, to me, it's about that giving back part of it. And I'm looking back on my father's life as, you know, is a natural thing to do on the anniversary of his death. And I think back at how here's a father of six and somebody who's in sales, which we all know is really not a 9-to-5 job. He was constantly, you know, working his territory, which was an hour and a half away. So he was in traffic and doing all kinds of things. And yet he found time to pay respect to something that had happened to him earlier in his career being unemployed. He never forgot that. And just to kind of stop for a moment, not putting a guilt trip on any of us, because I know I'm guilty of it, but are you truly, truly being respectful of the gifts you've been given and finding opportunities to give back? And again, be respectful of that. And, you know, so again, it's about giving back. It's about believing in other people before they believe in themselves. It's about taking a genuine interest in other people, and not just the people who are paying you. And it's about taking a genuine interest in all those people that you come across. I mean, you know, I've often said this. I don't really practice this as much as I really should, but I think it's worthy of mentioning. We really don't know what somebody's going through, and we might just be that person that gives them another round and that believes in them just for that second or two, or says a kind word, or validates them as a human being in some way. And that might be all they need to just set a series of events in motion. And you know what, folks? I told you what this was about today, but quite selfishly, it was about my dad.